Come on, put your hands together for Jesus like you really mean it today. Come on. Amen. Lord, I just want to say thank you today for this moment that we can be together. I pray, God, that your word will do only what your word can do. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you look great today. Come on. I think somebody said that. And my wife, when I looked over at her, she blinked at me a couple times. So if I get distracted here, it's just natural. Is that okay? 43 years married for me to say that? Good. If you have a struggle with it, God bless you. I'm just so thankful to be here today. And Patty and I took a little time last week, and so grateful that Pastor Ryan shared the word. Didn't he do just a fabulous job here in God's house? You probably don't remember an old song, or you're talking about leaning. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning on Jesus. I'm leaning on Jesus, leaning on his everlasting arms. How many of you ever heard that song? Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. That's all you're going to get from me today. This is an incredible start to the week, and I realize that many people will be looking to the cross, maybe for the first time in their lives this week. And I just was quick into my heart this morning that if that's you and you have questions, don't be afraid of reaching out to any of us. You can email me. I'm the least you'll want to talk to. You can talk to Pastor Aaron, Pastor Ryan. You can talk to Pastor Chuck Vendetti, Chuck Wood. All the elders, Micah, Brad, all these guys, their wives, they'll help you. Our small group leaders, they're here to help answer questions. And we might not know all the answers, but we know who does have all the answers, and it will help you with that. And so I just want to encourage you that you're not alone. Even if this is your first time here or your first time watching, you are not alone. You are with family today. Amen. So I'm just so grateful for this week, and this week has such significance in it that I believe it's a moment in our lives when God can reset our hearts, reset the things that are happening in our lives. And every day is so important. We've heard even already so much about Palm Sunday and the importance of it. Jerusalem was full that day of the remembrance of when God called his people out of bondage, and they were there to celebrate Passover. And the Bible says that Jesus rode in that day on a donkey that no one had ever ridden on before. And I'm always reminded of this, that no matter who you are, what your background is, maybe nobody's ever been able to get through to you, or maybe it's someone in your family or someone that you know, but when Jesus comes into your life, he will work in you like nothing or no one has ever worked before. That's what this week is about. Monday has such significance as well. Jesus comes into the temple expecting his people to be worshiping, but he finds the temple full of money changers. And the Bible says that he begins to tip over tables and chase them out. And this is what he says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Tuesday was another, just an amazing day. He's teaching some things out of the scriptures, teaching on faith. And he goes to a Pharisee's house in the evening, Simon, for dinner. And as he's sitting there eating with Simon, a woman, the Bible calls her a sinful woman. the past we can only imagine, but she comes and she stands by where he's eating, and all the religious people, they did not like her being in that house at that time. But Jesus looks at her and he looks at you and I in a totally different way. And the Bible says that she begins to weep, and the Bible says that she gets on her knees and she begins to worship him. And the Bible says that she begins to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair. And the Bible says that she has an alabaster box with perfume, very expensive, that she begins to anoint his feet. And although everyone else disdained that moment, that was a moment that would be remembered even to this day. You may be here today, maybe feeling like you have no place with his kingdom. Can I tell you something? That you are the very person that Jesus is looking out for today. He wants you so much. That was on Tuesday. Wednesday is what is referred to as a silent Wednesday. We see nothing in the scripture where Jesus was working. And some days you'll have those moments in your life where you just think, God, where are you? I feel alone. Where are you? You don't hear nothing. You don't see anything. But can I tell you, when you see nothing, God is doing lots of everything for you. Come on, you ought to put your hands together for that. Thursday is what is called Maundy Thursday. And we'll celebrate that together this week. This is a very important moment in the life of Jesus. He shares the last meal with his disciples, and the Bible says that he washes their feet. And the Bible says, and the word Maundy means command. That's what it means, simply means command. And the Bible says, he said, I give you a new commandment. It wasn't new. And when I tell it to you, it won't be new. But for some of us, maybe we've gotten away from it. And he says, I give you a new commandment that you are to love one another as I have loved you. And we can never forget that in our walk with Jesus. We are called to love one another like Jesus has loved you and I. And that's not always easy. But this is a commandment of Jesus. This is Thursday. And later that night, as he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and all the disciples mostly are sleeping, he is betrayed that night. And throughout that whole night, he is taken before six different people, six different trials that all condemn him to death. And at 9 o'clock on that Good Friday morning, he gives his life for you and I. He sheds his blood for you and I. The Bible says the sin of the world was put upon him. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us. Not just for me, not just for you, the entire world. The weight, the sin of the world was placed upon Jesus that day. So that you and I could be able to walk in life and freedom and have hope. And this is the season that my brothers and my sisters, I want to encourage you every day this week for you to pause and just to reconsider where your life is and the decisions that you are making every single day. That maybe this is a week that you forego some things that are normal and you've created habits. I talked Thursday night about spiritual transformation, and one of the incredible ways that spiritual transformation happens is for you and I to create rhythms, patterns in our lives. Things that you discipline yourself to engage in, not just once a year or during a particular season, but you engage in this on a daily basis. Reading the Word of God, spending time in prayer, worship. Turn off the news, turn on the praise. Come on today. And give yourself a break from all the stuff and let God's love and his life and his hope fill your heart with something brand new. This is a season where you and I are to engage in that. And to take in particular the importance of what the season, not just for this time, but for the rest of our lives. Let me tell you this, my brothers and my sisters. I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older, but the amount of people that I hear that are going through difficulties, going through cancer, going through different sicknesses, have had the COVID and have passed away. One of our beautiful people. Mike King, he used to go to St. Anthony's mostly, went through the COVID, got back home, went to work, and he was found in his room last week. He had passed away. These things, this is real. My friends and my brothers and my sisters, listen to me today. You may be engaged in a life and a lifestyle right now that has nothing to do with God. You don't have to feel condemned over that today, but I am encouraging you to come to Him with your arms wide open. You are not leaving anything behind. Paul said, all the things that I gave up, he called them rubbish. You will not miss out on anything, but you will engage in a new life that will be a blessing. It'll bring hope to you. It'll bring new life to you. You'll experience things that you never thought you would ever experience in your life. This is the time. This is the season. And so you begin. We begin today. We begin again. Maybe some of you, you've been away from God. Maybe the pandemic has just pushed you off. And I said this earlier, I get messages, emails, cards from people that even before the pandemic that have isolated themselves so much that they've engaged in addictive behaviors with whether it's alcohol, drug abuse, pornography. This is a season where God can set you and I free from anything that would hinder what He wants to do in and through our lives. Come on, I'm telling you the truth today. I already hear a better amen than that this morning. And so I want to just take a moment this morning, and I want to just share with you His word and what this week really means in Psalm 103, verse 1 through 5. I want to read this to you, and then I just take a moment. The psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Here's the benefits of what I just told you. He forgives all your iniquities. Everyone. Not just some. I said everyone. He heals all your diseases. And I believe this is a week. I felt this on my heart so much this morning and last night. This is a week that God will do some divine touches upon people's lives that have been dealing with things. Whether it's physical, emotional, whatever it is. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. Thank God for that. I don't know about you, but before I knew Jesus, I was on a highway to hell. I was going down a dark road, and there was no answer. There was an end coming, and it was an end of destruction. Jesus, He comes to redeem your life from that destruction. The enemy had one plan. I want to tell you today, I want to tell somebody watching at home, God's got a better plan for you. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things? Man, somebody brought me a pan of cookies this morning. That's the word of God coming alive right there, isn't it though? So that your youth, I don't know about the cookies renewing my youth like an eagle. If I eat that pan of cookies, I'm not going to be able to get off the ground. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Everything that He experienced on the cross. And that day when He was coming in to Jerusalem, He had popularity. He had fed people. He had healed the sick. He had raised the dead. He had made lepers whole. But the Pharisees and those religious people at the time, they were worried because He captivated the heart of people. And it was not the first time that the crowds sought after a leader, but this time it's different. He stayed, Jesus did, with common people. He ate with tax collectors. He forgave men and women of bad reputation, played with the children, and He feared no one, but the Pharisees feared His popularity. On that Sunday morning, as He comes riding in on a donkey that no one has ever rode before, it symbolizes a triumphant king who brings peace to those in Jerusalem. And they begin to chant what Matthew 21:9 says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, which the word means save now. the road to kingship, to freedom, and to overthrow Rome seemed to be the road that Jesus was riding on that day. But that was not the road he was on. That was not that Palm Sunday. It was a road to sacrifice. It was not a road to power. It was a road to humility. It was not a road to fame. It was a road to death. It was not the road that the crowd thought, but it was the road that God had planned. Not only for that day, but for the day that you and I are living in right now. On that Palm Sunday and on this day, we cannot forget the power that Jesus displayed a few days later as he is betrayed, arrested, as he is tried, abandoned, whipped, spit upon, slapped, his beard plucked out of his face, scourged, tortured with a crown of thorns, ridiculed, and ultimately killed for you and for me. This is the road that our Jesus took on. And the same crowd that sang Hosanna was the same crowd that said, "Give us Barabbas." He was riding on that road that day. And I want to encourage you today to focus on how this came about. On that night when he received the maximum 39 stripes, scourges across his back. And, you know, over the years, I said this in the first service, I've had people come up to me and say, "I wish you wouldn't describe that like you did it. You know, it just makes me feel bad." My brothers and my sisters, we need to realize the price that was paid for you and I. This wasn't a slap with one of these palm branches. These were scourging. These were clubs with steel and glass and stone in it that would rip hunks of flesh out of his back. But after he went through all of that, he gets up and he carries the cross to Golgotha. And this is what the psalmist speaks about when he talks about the benefits. And I want you to think about this, not only today, please don't leave here and forget in 10 minutes what has taken place. Leave here with a consciousness of what this day is the beginning of. Number one, the scourging represents his healing that he took for you and I. The wounds in your life, the diseases, the disasters, the troubles, the heartache, all of that in your life. Isaiah 53:5 says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And then the scripture says, "And with his stripes we are healed." Come on this morning. And then that is looking towards the cross. And then Peter articulates it so well in 1 Peter 2 and 24, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." Isaiah looking towards the cross, Peter looking back at the cross. And he is taking the scourging for you and I so that we may be healed in our body. Oh, I feel this so much in my heart that God is going, we're going to hear testimonies in the days of heaven of how God touched somebody physically, emotionally, relationally. And I want to encourage you, let's not wait for heaven for this to happen. Let's receive it right now, right today. And you may be in a crisis today that God didn't create, but I'm going to tell you, he didn't create it, but he will use that crisis in your life to bring great glory to him and his kingdom. Number two, the crown of thorns were given for our peace. They were given for you and I. A strand of thorns that were created and put on his head and forced into his head by a board and pressed it down. And the crown represents everything connected to your mind, your thinking. It's the peace of God that the Bible says he makes provision for you and I to have in our life. We just read it in Isaiah 53:5. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. The pressure, the anxiety, the depression, the stress, the worry, the mental anguish, Jesus paid the price for that. And the crown has been provided as a peace offering for you and I, that on this Palm Sunday. You don't have to walk out of here carrying it with you. You can leave it at the cross and know that He has brought you peace. Come on, give God a good praise today in His house. Jesus said in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace," He says, "I give to you. Not like the world has." I got to tell you, when I pull up and I see that green truck out front, I get some peace that comes across my mind. I'm preaching. In the first service, Samantha, she's praying, and Paulie brings me down a double shot of espresso. I'm thinking, God answers prayers. That brings me a level of peace. But can I tell you, this is not the peace that He's talking to you and I about. This is a peace that reaches way deep down in our soul. In those nights of darkness, in the nights of pain, in the nights of travail, when we can't sleep at night, Jesus said, "Wait a minute. I did not go to the cross so that you would carry this burden any longer, any further in your life." He said, "I've come to bring you peace, and not just any kind of peace. My peace doesn't come in a bottle, in a bag, in a package. It comes from the blood of Calvary's cross." He said, "My peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You can walk out of here today whole, free, have peace like you've never had it before, and drink the coffee too. That's just the benefit that God gives to you and I. Number three, the nails in His hand and in His feet represent the cleansing that takes place in our lives. Forgiveness takes place. Instead of people carrying around the guilt, even though they know they've been forgiven, the nails that went in His hand and in His feet represent the cleansing, that hope that He gives to you and I. Instead of allowing the enemy to drag us down or to pull us back or to accuse us, the Bible says the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. But Jesus has come to set you free from guilt, shame, your past. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, and I like how the New Living Translation says it, "And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sin." Never. I said never. Some of you just need to say never. Come on, say it with me. Say never. He has taken the guilt, the shame, the condemnation, and it's gone in the name of Jesus. He said, "I will forgive their wickedness." And I know some people, including myself, that have had some wicked actions in our lives. But Jesus said, "I have cleansed you. I have paid the price for that. I've taken your sin upon me, and I cleanse your life from all of it, and I remember it no more." Come on today. Come on, church. We need this. We need this life-transforming peace, and someone needs it today. I felt like when I was writing this that I could see. Somebody came up to me in the last service weeping. I saw this when I was writing this. I could see this impression in my heart and in my spirit. Some people weeping over the emotional pain and the hardship that describes what your life is. You know, if the enemy can keep you confined into that little box and just talk you into, "You're not worth it. You're no good. This is happening to you because of what you did or who you are or who you were born to or born from." But He has come today to set you free. And I've also learned over the years that I need some people in my life to help me through this. I can't do this on my own. I need other people around my life. In fact, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9, two are better than one because they have a better return for their labor. And then He goes on and He says, if either one of them falls down, the other one will help pick them up. How are you going to get up if you stay isolated and separated and confined? You and the enemy wants to keep you in that place. But Jesus says to you and I today, come on, get out with some people, wear your mask, stay physically separated, and if you fall down, there's going to be somebody there. It's going to say, come on, get up. You're going to go with me to the house of God. And His heart, number four, was broken and torn so that you and I can have new life. Oh my goodness. not just saving me from my sins, but giving me new life. Some people, they say things to me like, well, I just have no life. I feel bad when I hear that. People that go day in and day out, they should say, I have no life. I do the same thing every day. I just get past one day and wait for the next one. That's not how God has called you to live your life. He didn't call you to that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, he makes all things brand new. Come on, somebody say new with me. Say new. Say it again. Say it like you mean it. Say new. He gives you a fresh start. He gives you a new opportunity. He helps you to discover your purpose and who you are made to be and what you are called to do. You are not just called to sit on a bump on a log. You are called, just as Pastor Ryan said it earlier, you have a calling and a gifting in your life in particular to do something great for the kingdom of our God. And many people, they never find this. They never discover it. And I want to encourage for somebody to start right now today. I want to encourage someone, maybe you've given your life to Christ, but you've never engaged in walking with Him. Never engaged in surrendering your life totally over to Him. To let Him be the Lord and the master of your life. You see, when you begin to engage in that, some of you are saying, well, I can't do that. I can't let this go or I can't let that go. The Apostle Paul said, I counted all things as rubbish to find the surpassing greatness of our God. And for some of you, it's just, you got to make a little bit of a turn. In your life, that little bit of a turn does something big in you. Listen to what Romans 8, 31 and 32 out of the Message. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing Himself to the worst by sending His own Son, is there anything else He wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? Some of you have never given your life to Jesus. You need to do that today. You need to say yes to Him. Patty and I, we've got a favorite little TV program. It's on the Discovery Channel. It's called Airplane Repo. I love that. I mean, we were watching a little last night, and we get done, and Patty's there, whoo! Oh, I get so nervous watching them do that. I was thinking about, I have a pilot's license. I haven't flown in a few years on my own, but I remember when I got it. I think that's why I like it. By the way, my bucket list desire, and God's going to bring it to me, and I don't know how He's going to do it, is I want to ride in a big, fat, private jet someday. So if you have one, call a brother up, will you? But I remember getting my license. I remember going out on one of my first solo flights. I remember my instructor saying, now, Marty, if you're off 1 degree, you're going to be from here. I think my first one was to Binghamton, New York, and then it was across the state. I had to fly 3 points. He said, if you don't stay, you don't watch the instruments, if you're off a degree, you're going to be way off. You're going to be, you could be hundreds of miles. Because, see, if you start from Batavia and go to Leroy, you're off a degree. You might be off, maybe an eighth of a mile. But if I go from here to Virginia or Florida, I'm off a degree. If I'm heading to Florida, I could end up in Louisiana. But the other is true as well. For some of you, you think, oh, I got to do all this and do it. And God's just saying, just take this one little step. Just take this one little step. Because when you do, you'll look back over a week and say, okay, wow, I didn't use this week. In a month, you're going to say, whew, I didn't use all month. In 3 months, you're going to say, I don't even miss using. Oh, there's a whole bunch of things I could put in there, but I don't want to make, it's Palm Sunday, I want to be really nice. But in a year, in 5 years, You know, you see Brad Trzynski's all dressed up and looking fine up there. I remember when he first got saved. I remember him calling me. He said, "Pastor, I quit drinking. I haven't drank in a week." That's awesome. Then it'd be a few weeks later, he called me a pastor. "I quit smoking." I said, "Awesome. Quit using drugs." "That's great." "Quit living with my girlfriend." "Oh, that's awesome." And a month would go by, and 6 months would go by, and a year would go by, and now 18 years has gone by. Brad T., come on. Look at what the Lord can do in your life when you make that one move. I want to ask you today, that if you're here, to make that one little move today. I want you to close your eyes and bow your head with me. And I just want to invite you today. You may be here, maybe you've given your life to Christ, but you're not walking with Him. You're not making that move. He wants your life today. Maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus. And I'm talking about religion. I'm not talking about joining church. I'm talking about becoming a part of the kingdom of our God. You remember the story. Just keep your eyes closed. Just hear me just as I'm closing here. There's three people on the cross that day. Jesus and two that were, he was not guilty, but two that were. One said to him, "If you were who you said you were, you could get us out of here. No repentance. No genuine heart. Just want to get out." The other one said, looked over at him and said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That's all he said. This drives religious people freaky because religious people won't accept you unless, you know, you got to do these 10 things. You got to do these 12 things. You got to do these 5 things. And it takes so long to do this and to be that. And Jesus says to the man, "This day, you will be with me in paradise." If you've never done it before, just say, "Jesus, come into my life. I give you my heart. I ask you to be my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.